Well, as we told you yesterday, the odds of the earnings tax not getting passed was probably 0.1%. And that might have even been a little bit high. It passed overwhelmingly. Happy Wednesday morning on KCMO Talk Radio. It's great to be with you. 77% of Kansas Cityans went to the polls and decided to renew the earnings tax. It was not a shock. It was not a surprise. Of course, there were scoreboard races as well yesterday and other things on the ballot, but that was the biggest one that obviously has the impact on the most amount of people, John.
I'm but a simple man. You've had more experience with numbers, so that's 77% of 10% of us or something like
yes, that is exactly right. The turnout was, as expected, incredibly, incredibly low. But, I mean, that's nothing new, and frankly, that's better for the pro-earnings tax crowd. Like, let's just be honest. The people that want the earnings tax to stay, and obviously overwhelmingly that's how Kansas Cityans voted, but if you were somebody who wanted to make sure that it got through, you'd make this vote a Tuesday in early April when most people aren't really paying attention. You'd get out the right folks, you get out the right people, and you get the earnings tax through. And that is exactly what took place. I want to just share with you those numbers, by the way, because somebody also sent this to me yesterday as well on that note, John. They said, well, the earnings tax may have passed, but all of Kansas City, Missouri, who works here now has to pay that tax, voted on by only 30,000 people. We have 500,000 residents, 250,000 voters, and only 30,000 people voted yesterday. That's it. Boy, and that's disappointing to me because if there was one thing I thought we could all agree on a bipartisan basis, Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever you might be, it was the idea that local elections matter. Your city council person matters. Your county commissioner matters. Your school board members matter. They're the ones who, in many ways, have impacted your lives over the last 12 months in a bigger way than anybody in Congress. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Congress isn't screwing up your life or they don't have the potential to screw things up for this country. They certainly do, and they're trying their best right now, by the way. But those people at the super local level that most residents don't know are the ones who kept your kids out of school, are the ones who, you know, are going to make sure that you wear masks until the end of time. Like, that's who those people are. So I would hope, and I had hoped, that these people would have gotten more attention. It does not look like they did yesterday in the votes. So let's look at where this goes from here. To me, this is still a Band-Aid. This earnings tax for Kansas City, which is you live in the city, you pay 1% of your income. You live outside the city, but you work in the city, you pay 1% of your income. It doesn't matter. They're hitting you for 1%. This is still a Band-Aid. It's been there since 1963. The city will say it can't survive without it. But if they're being smart, what they're going to do starting today is they will go out there and they will figure out a long-term solution to possibly having to replace at least some of the $290 million that the city makes off of the earnings tax. Why is that? Well, because certainly people who don't live in the city but work in the city, as they continue to possibly work from home, and this could be something that happens not just in the short term but the long term as well, they're going to be looking for refunds on those earnings taxes. And why wouldn't they? If you're now working from home 2-3 days a week, going to the office 2-3 days a week, and corporations, by the way, will probably say, hey, I don't need 10,000 square feet of space in downtown Kansas City. I can do with 5, and we rotate people every other day. Why wouldn't you apply for a 50% refund on your earnings tax if you are only in the office 2-3 days a week? You'd be foolish not to, right? And half of the earnings tax money in Kansas City comes from those people who do not live in the city but work in the city. So you could lose up to a quarter, if you're following me here, half of a half, theoretically, you could lose up to a quarter of that revenue stream in the next few years. It's not a great place to be for the city.
Might reap a little earnings tax from We got Patrick Mahomes' contract. That's junk. Bobby Witt Jr. or Alberto Mondesi for the Royals may be making some bank here soon. So perhaps there's a revenue stream there, huh?
Well, I'll tell you what. I know one guy who's hoping Major League Baseball never has a salary cap, and that's Quentin Lucas. You know, he wants those guys. He wants those guys to be making, you know, $100, $200 million.
Yes, sir.
He wants that. He wants endorsement deals from Mahomes. He wants it all, though I bet you Mahomes is paying some of that out of Texas. That's just my hunch.
Oh, and we get 1% of your $15 an hour, too.
Right? Oh, yes, 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 of course. 1% of your $15 an hour minimum wage, that is, coming to Kansas City. They're going to fleece you for all you're worth, okay? But if the city is being serious, I genuinely has to think of a backup plan here. It has to try to come up with a better revenue stream. Of course, the fear is they'll never get rid of the earnings tax, but I don't see the earnings tax revenue skyrocketing upwards just based on how the world has changed. And yesterday, Heather Hall, the councilman up in the Northland, she was on Fox 4, and she talked about this issue with the Fox 4 reporters.
Earnings tax took a big hit during pandemic due to store closings and layoffs. And a type of tax, First District Councilwoman Heather Hall says, is too dependent on circumstances.
And I think it's a really dangerous position to be in for a city government to have their budget be strictly hinging on the hopes of the people saying yes to a tax.
While the tax passed again with little opposition, Hall is hoping it will eventually phase out with a new tax she believes will make more sense. Right now, she's still researching just how to do it.
People don't want to be told they have to pay a certain amount of money just to live or work in a community, and that's not okay.
But it will be at least a few years until that conversation will happen again.
Yeah, at least five more years, and I don't see this changing, right? Like, even in 5 years, if there was ever a time when people might turn their backs on the earnings tax, it theoretically would be now, right? It theoretically would be people saying, no, you know, this is an antiquated way to do this. Let's figure out a better way. And it passed yesterday with 77% of the vote in Kansas City. So I don't see any way this comes to an end anytime soon, to be honest. It doesn't mean it shouldn't, though. And you know what I found interesting yesterday as I'm scrolling through social media and people are going to the polls in Kansas City and they're going to vote on the earnings tax? The Greater Kansas City Chamber of Commerce endorsed it. They wrote on Twitter, "We support renewing the earnings tax. This is not the time to lose this vital source of revenue," says the Greater Kansas City Chamber of Commerce. Now, that's interesting because what this does do on paper is it makes Kansas City less competitive for some businesses, right? Some businesses, I'm not saying the majority, I'm not saying all, but there's no doubt that for some businesses, if push comes to shove and you've got the option of, I don't know, Mission or Kansas City or Overland Park or Kansas City or Lee's Summit or Kansas City, and maybe the earnings tax for you is a make or break thing, right? Maybe you want to let your employees keep an extra 1% of their money. You, in some ways, put the city at a competitive disadvantage, and I find that an interesting endorsement from the Greater Kansas City Chamber of Commerce, but then again, I guess nothing should surprise me these days. I guess that's got to be my conclusion there. But if you were hoping that you were someone who lived outside of the city but worked in the city, if you were hoping that Kansas Cityans might bail you out of that 1%, unfortunately, you were sorely mistaken, as we warned you would be the case, all right? I never once on this show was like, yeah, there's a chance. No, we basically every time was like, no, it's going to pass. Earnings tax will continue. And you saw that happen last night. We're at 576-7710. We are always on the text line at 816-576-7710. So sorry if you wanted that 1% pay raise, but it ain't happening. Not this time around, all right? Coming up next, Kansas City Star writes a lot of pretty gross hit pieces against this police department, but this might be the grossest one yet. And that's saying something against Police Chief Rick Smith. We'll get it to you coming up on KCMO Talk Radio. Well, speaking of turnout, you know, I just got to throw this into the equation here. You know, I look at Grandview, where John's at. He had less than 2,000 people vote in the mayor's race. I know the population's only 25,000 and change, But boy, John, you got to go door to door there and get them out. Get them out to go
vote.
They do
sometimes. I live pretty close to where you vote, and they'll come around knocking on the doors in the afternoon. Did you vote today?
All right. Well, at least someone's trying.
I got out there and did my thing.
All right. Well, by the way, Grandview mayor is now is Leonard Jones. He beat out John
Boyd.
Yeah,
he's been there for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, they had a judge and an alderman or something where there was nobody running, so I don't vote.
I
don't pick the guy when there's one, so that may look like the totals are different.
But, yeah.
You know, you can tell by the mayor, and there were two school district questions.
Okay. All right. Well, John was out there voting. We can't blame him, but
Where's my water, though?
Yeah, where's your water? How did
all
you not
I got
die?
Was a brochure.
You didn't die of dehydration standing in line yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, it took, all of 5 minutes. Most of my time was spent completely coloring in the dot on this one.
Oh, man. I don't know how you did it with all that voter suppression that we have here in Missouri, but you got through it. John, good job by you. How about a little round of applause for John Anthony on voting day?
No taco truck. We'll have to keep working on that.
Yeah, no taco truck. Jeez, I thought there was going to be free food from the candidates and everything. Unbelievable. But yes, we'll be going through some of these election results throughout the morning here on KCMO Talk Radio, and good to be with you. So, let me start off by saying this. The standards for the Kansas City Star are incredibly low. Incredibly low. But even this piece, when I saw it this morning, I was like, wow, this is even lower than low. This is like way below their own standards, is what this is. They wrote a piece, and the title of this piece: can you see Kansas City Police Department Chief Rick Smith testifying as honestly as the Minneapolis Police Chief? ? We can't. What? But so what we're doing here is we're putting the police chief in a hypothetical, non-existent trial in Kansas City, and they're based in no evidence. Hot take of the day from the Kansas City Star is that basically the police chief would lie under oath, which is a crime, by the way. They're alleging that in a hypothetical, made-up, non-existent case in Kansas City, the police chief in Kansas City would lie under oath. That's what they are alleging here. That's what this piece is about. The Kansas City Star writes here, do you think Minneapolis Police Chief Madaria Arredondo has any brothers, sisters, aunts, or uncles, or cousins who might be available to lead the Kansas City Police Department with the same integrity that he showed in testifying against his former officer, Derek Chauvin, this week? You could say that all Arredondo really did on the stand was refuse to defend the indefensible, and you'd be right. Yet, while it's all too easy to imagine a similar killing in Kansas City, by the way, what is that based on? Seriously, what is that based on? Yeah, there have been some confrontations between Kansas City police and citizens in town that have resulted in death in the past year. We know that. But even the prosecutor in Jackson County, Gene Peters Baker, who's no friend of this police department, at least in the one killing from a year ago at this time, decided not to prosecute the case. So to compare those two and make it an apples to apples based on absolutely nothing is the Kansas City Star virtue signaling, trying to divide the police department and the community even further. When, by the way, maybe one person on that editorial board actually lives in that district in some of these parts of town. I mean, I don't pretend to. I don't. I'm not a Kansas City resident anymore, but I'm also not the one that's trying to continue to put a huge wedge between community and law enforcement based on no evidence and based on generic national left-wing talking points that cops are bad. I'm not trying to do that. They are. Anyway, they go on to write here, yet while it's all too easy to imagine a similar killing in Kansas City where headlines about the excessive use of force from repeated offenders inside KCPD just keep on coming, it is impossible to suppose that Chief Rick Smith would ever speak the truth about one of his own officers as plainly as Arredondo did. Smith's default position is that if one of his men or women did it, then it must have been okay. Oh, really? That's it, huh? So, was it Rick Smith, by the way, who was kneeling in solidarity with protesters on the plaza last year? Was that that Rick Smith, or was that his twin brother, Dick Smith? Like, which one is it? Like, does he have a twin brother here, or was that the same guy that was down on the plaza last year? Because I'm pretty sure that was him. All right? So this notion that, oh, boy, if something wrong appears to happen, he does nothing but just defend the officer, and that's it. No, it's not. And the other thing I wanted to bring up in this article is that one thing we've been told for a very long time here in Kansas City by the people who don't want the police chief in town anymore is that the reason we can't have Rick Smith is because, well, if we get rid of him, these bad cases and these supposed bad cops and their actions will go away. You see, that's how we're told this works. Well, you're praising the Minneapolis police chief, who, by the way, was obviously the boss of Derek Chauvin, and still that happened, right? Now, I don't know if Derek Chauvin is going to be proven guilty or not guilty. I have no idea. But we're told that we're going to live in this utopia if we just turn over the police chief. Well, you're praising the police chief in Minneapolis, who was the boss of Derek Chauvin, in this trial that's getting more attention than any trial involving a cop in modern American history. So which one is it? Does removing the police chief prevent stuff like this from happening? Because if it does, then you should be knocking the Minneapolis police chief. But now you're praising him in a roundabout way to stab Rick Smith in the back with no evidence whatsoever and say that he would lie under oath. It's a hell of a charge from the Kansas City Star. And even by their own god-awful standards, it's one of the most pathetic pieces I've ever seen in my life. 5767710. News is coming up in 3 minutes. We'll be back here in 5 minutes with you on Major League Baseball and whether or not it's the final straw on KCMO. Well, it's just after 7 o'clock, and yes, the earnings tax is not going anywhere, as you heard John Anthony mention in that top of the hour news. Just waking up, just getting going. Sorry, you still owe 1% to the city of Kansas City if you do not live in the city and work in the city, or if you just happen to live in the city, passing overwhelmingly 77% of voters deciding that, yes, the earnings tax will continue. And why wouldn't they? You know, you, if you don't live in the city but work in the city, you don't have a vote. Even if you're someone who doesn't like the earnings tax yourself as a Kansas City resident, there is no incentive for you to vote against it. There isn't. You're basically voting on the idea of getting about half of that revenue, which is $290 million, subsidized by those who do not live in town. So it's kind of a no-brainer. We told you it was going to pass, and it passed overwhelmingly. Maybe the margin, that might be the one thing I'm surprised by, 77%. I don't know. Maybe I thought it'd be between 65 and 73, I don't know, somewhere around there, high 60s, low 70s. It got a few more points than I expected, but still, it did pass with complete ease, and that goes back to 1963, John.
So that's up there with the Vegas number for Royals wins.
Yeah, right? It is.
77, 75.
Yes, I think it was, it opened around 73, and it got all the way up to 77, I think. So a lot of people were on the over for the Royals win total, and why not? Why not? Oh, boy.
Rather optimistic in this city, huh?
A lot of optimism right now in Kansas City. How about that? Feeling good about things. Good to be with you. Happy Wednesday morning on KCMO. Going to talk to Nick Haynes about the earnings tax, the elections coming up bottom of the hour here on KCMO Talk Radio. So I want to ask you, like, and we've done this before when it comes to your job, right? But I'm curious to know from you at 5767710. Or on the text line, of course, which is just 816-576-7710. What incentive would it take for you from a baseball team to get the COVID-19 vaccine? What would it take? The reason I ask this is because the Cincinnati Reds announced availability of $10 tickets to fans who show COVID-19 vaccination cards at the Great American Ballpark ticket windows, with at least one shot completed. This offer is going to apply for Cincinnati Reds games Monday through Thursday during games in the month of April and May. Now, here's the thing, though. It's tricky because I have not spent a lot of time in Cincinnati in April or May, or frankly, ever for that matter. I've never been to Kansas City or Cincinnati in my life. But I'll tell you what, if I'm thinking of a place I really want to be in April and May, it's probably not Cincinnati. Like, I'd try to get a little bit more south than that. So I'm pretty confident you could find $10 tickets on StubHub for Cincinnati Reds games in April or May on a Tuesday night at 7:05 against the San Diego Padres. So I don't know how great of a deal this really is. Like, if people are going to be like, oh, that is awesome. I'll definitely buy a $10 ticket to get my COVID-19 vaccine. Well, you know, you can also just check StubHub where they're, $12, to sit up top. Like, I just don't know if that's really going to work. If people are going to just say, yeah, that's great. Like, if the Royals did that, would you definitely get, or would you think twice about getting a COVID-19 vaccine if maybe you were on the fence? Like, does getting $10 Royals tickets do it for you? That's what I want to know at 5767710. Because a part of me thinks that, like, Rex Archer's seeing that, hey, that's a great idea. Like, I can see him just, whoa, hey, all right, let's do that. That's Cincinnati, way to go. You guys are ahead of the curve. That sounds awesome. Or what if the Chiefs did that this fall? I don't think it's likely. God willing, this is all a horrible nightmare come kickoff in September. But what if the Chiefs said, hey, you can get tickets at a discount if you show us your COVID-19 vaccine passport or whatever you want to call it? Like, is that something that for you would change the way that you possibly think about the vaccine? I'd hate to think that it would be that easy. But I don't want to, I'm not judging out of this. Like, I'm just trying to get your feedback. It wouldn't do it for me, but I'm just trying to get your feedback at 5767710. And the text line is 816-576-7710. Say hi to Jeremy. He's in Kansas City. What's up, Jeremy? Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, it would take a 4-pack of lower level season tickets for lunch.
Oh, Jeremy, give us that again. You said a 4-pack of season tickets in the what? The lower bowl?
Lower level for life.
For life. For life. Okay. I missed the for life part. All right. So you want a 4-pack in the lower bowl for life to get the... Oh, jeez. Okay. And how old are you, Jeremy? Just so I know.
Just turned 43 yesterday.
All right. So it is safe to say, Jeremy, that you do not have plans on getting the vaccine.
No.
Okay. All right. Now, what if, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, it doesn't look like it is, but what if we get to a point where, so many private sector jobs or events at the Sprint Center or whatever it might be, continue to say, hey, if you don't have the vaccine, you got to show us that you're negative within 72 hours. You got to take a test. Would that change your opinion at all?
I won't go.
So you won't, but would you just get the test like the Chiefs did this last year? You got to spit into a little canister and then they send it in and make sure you're negative. Would you do that or would you say, screw it, I'm just not going?
I'd say, screw it, I'm just not going. Because at that point, they're going to have to jack the tickets up so much to help cover the cost of the people that are in the same situation and making the same decisions that I'm making to help offset the revenue of the tickets that they're not going to sell, that you're not going to be able to afford to do anything anyway.
Interesting. Very interesting. All right, Jeremy. Thanks for the call, my man. Appreciate you.
Yep.
5767710. That's 5767710. If there's any incentive the Royals or Chiefs could give that would make you get the COVID vaccine if you are on the fence, because the Cincinnati Reds are saying, hey, you can get $10 tickets between Monday and Thursday night in the months of April and May if you show us that you got the vaccine. I think that's a incentive that you'd have to be a clueless sports fan to think that that's a good deal. Like, that's the deal, because everyone knows that baseball games in April and May during the week are not really all that desirable. The only thing that helps them, John, is that it's limited attendance in most stadiums. So naturally, supply of seats are down, demand has gone up a bit. So maybe they're not as cheap as normal. But even right now, like, I'm looking at a Reds game. No, that's an away game. I'm just looking on StubHub here real quick. All right, Thursday game at home next Tuesday against the Arizona Diamondbacks, a garbage game. You can get into that game in Cincinnati for $13.
Yeah, forgive me if I doubt the Reds' altruism in trying to help people in Cincinnati get vaccinated because they didn't make that offer for Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
Bingo! 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 It's good for us when it's convenient for us, when we can maybe, you know, not lose as much money. But literally, next Tuesday night in Cincinnati, you want to take a road trip and see the Diamondbacks and the Reds. I mean, there are tons of tickets for under $20 on StubHub. So, like, is getting a vaccine literally worth $10 or $20 to you? Like, that, I hate to put it that simply, but that's really the question. Paul, go ahead.
Hey, Pete, how you doing?
All right, what's going on?
Good, okay. My incentive would be from the Kansas City Chiefs and Mr. Clark. Two first-class round-trip tickets, all accommodations paid for, three Super Bowls, guaranteed 3 years straight.
Now, can he book?
I'll take both shots.
Do you have to win three Super Bowls, or you say just get there?
Just get. I don't care who's playing. Just get me there. 3 years, guaranteed contract.
Now,
first round. I'll take Pfizer, Johnson. I'll take them all.
You'll take them all. Oh, now you're a vaccine hoarder. That's what's going on here now.
Have a great day, Pete.
Oh, thank you, Paul. 5767710. That is funny. That is funny. I'm just not buying the Cincinnati Reds altruism saying, yeah, you know, you can buy $10 tickets Monday to Thursday. Nothing like sitting outside on the Ohio River on a Tuesday night when it's 47 degrees. Like, that sounds like a grand old time watching the Reds and the Diamondbacks on a Tuesday night. I mean, blow my brains out for crying out loud. That sounds horrible. And I say that as a baseball fan. Whew. But it more gets into the bigger picture of incentives around the vaccine and the fact that, you know, these are things that companies are going to try to continue to push. We'll get to you coming up here at 5767710. And also, we've got Nick Haynes, bottom of the hour, on the election results from yesterday here on KCMO. Well, the incentives around the vaccine are not going anywhere. The question is, what would it take for you to do it? A baseball team, we were just telling you about this, the Cincinnati Reds have said, yeah, you can buy $10 tickets Monday through Thursday in the months of April or May. And if you show us a vaccine ID or proof of vaccination, and you're like, whoa, $10 baseball tickets, that sounds pretty good. Well, you know, next Tuesday, if you want to go to Cincinnati and get into the Reds Diamondbacks game, you can do it for $13. So I don't know. Like, to take the family of four to the game, is it worth it for $12 to get the vaccine? I'm asking you. I don't know what the answer is. Everyone's got a different answer. But to me, you get the vaccine because you want to get it. And $12 worth of baseball tickets probably shouldn't be the difference maker for you. But maybe it is. I don't know. I mean, maybe you're a cheap date. I can't answer that one for you. Tammy, you're on KCMO. What's going on?
Good morning, Pete.
Morning,
Tammy.
I think
it's ridiculous. Good morning. It's totally ridiculous to make your health decisions upon, you know, mere bribery. You know, it really is.
Yeah.
But when I look at the situation, what they're resulting to is they're using propaganda techniques. I mean, bandwagon is going on here big time, you know, and that's a successful propaganda technique that companies use to get people to buy their products and consumers buy them. So they're hoping that that's going to turn out by partnering with the government on this COVID vaccine because they need people back in those parks and they're going to do whatever it takes. However, most of us are going to sit back and say, that's not enough.
Well, here's the thing, though, Tammy. I mean, I'll give you an example. The Texas Rangers, they had a full stadium this week for opening day, over 40,000 people. And, I guess probably, I don't know, maybe most of that crowd was vaccinated and felt comfortable. Or maybe it was some people who weren't vaccinated who just were like, hey, you know what? I'm okay. I'm willing to take a risk and sit outdoors at a baseball stadium. But the point is, the vaccinated folks should feel comfortable about their situation. And those that don't want to get it, well, guess what? They don't have to get it. And frankly, they know the risk that they're possibly taking. And that's that, right? That should be in the end of the conversation.
You'd think, but, you know, if you look back at our history, too, our government has done things to encourage us to back what they're all about. You know, World War II, they encouraged everyone to have a victory garden and recycle and reuse and all these kinds of things. And I think the government is really encouraging sports to join in the crusade of getting the coronavirus shot. So,
yeah. Well, we'll see.
I'm just not sold on that. I make my health decisions with other criteria and data, not on what I'm going to get out of it.
Not out of baseball tickets. I agree there, yeah. Tammy. Have a great day. Thanks for calling in. I mean, that's more the question, right? Like, you get the vaccine because you want to get it. You think you should get it. You got pre-existing conditions, whatever it might be. I don't think you get it because you're like, whoa, I can go to a baseball game on Tuesday for $10 a pop? Woo, sign me in, man. Sign me up. This is great. I mean, this is definitely what I'm looking to do here. Somebody asked me on the text line, by the way, if I bought the MLB package. I told you on Monday I was on the fence about it, buying it for my New York Mets because of what happened with the All-Star game. And I admitted yesterday, and I'll admit right now, I did. And here's ultimately why I did, and then I'll get back to your calls on this. But the reason I did is because and a lot of you got on me. I got a lot of nasty emails about this, by the way, yesterday. A lot of nasty emails. But here's what I would say to it. Let's not become, as much as I hate what Major League Baseball did, and you guys know that, do you blame the teams? As Kevin Keatsman said this week on the show, do you blame the Royals? Do you blame the owners of clubs? Do you blame the players for these decisions? Because they had no role in this. It was Major League Baseball caving, absolutely caving, to the woke left. I mean, that's what it was, right? I couldn't come to that conclusion. Now, maybe I'm supposed to have a list here in the studio of everything I'm supposed to cancel today and not buy and all this other stuff. As much as it pains me, I don't know if I can just live like that. I don't. But let's not do the whole, like, I got a lot of nasty emails from people yesterday. And all I would say is this. I think it's a lot easier for people who don't watch baseball already to then be like, oh, you're coward. It's like, no, it's not really the case. It's not. Rick, you're in Leavenworth. Go ahead there, Rick. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, so my privacy and my liberties are not for sale. Okay. I will not go to a game again. You can do what you want. Mm-hmm. I have no problem with that. But I don't intend to. And I used to watch baseball all the time. You know, I'm in the Army, but I grew up, I'm born in New Jersey, you know, big baseball out there in New York and all that. And I just, one of my relatives played baseball. I will not. I think, you know, I actually stopped watching a lot of this stuff when they started crying about how much money they were making and they needed to make more. I think they've become a joke. I do blame the players. Mm-hmm. They're complicit in this. You know, they take a knee, they do all that. That's kind of what generated all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so I do blame them. And that's my take on it. And I'm power in groups of people. If we want them to change, then we just don't go to the games. And maybe they'll, you know, hit their pocketbook and they'll take a second look.
All right.
My liberty and my privacy, not for sale.
Not for sale for a $10 baseball ticket. All right,
nope,
Rick.
Nope. You're not even $1,000. Not even if they paid me to go.
Okay there, Rick. Way to go. All right. So Rick says no way, no how. We had a caller earlier who said he'll take a 4-pack of tickets for the rest of his life to the Royals in the lower bowl if he gets the vaccine. It would take him that much. Let's try Sherry in Overland Park. Go ahead, Sherry.
Hi. Do I have to show some sort of ID or a card identifying the fact that I got the shot? Because I might not be able to provide that.
Yeah,
that's,
I know.
That's a bit unfair.
That's very racist to have to show the proof of the ID or the vaccination, right? I thought showing any type of proof of who you are or what you've done or anything like that is like bigoted and racist and Jim Crow, right? That's what we've been told.
Right. So I'm assuming I can get all these vaccination deals without any kind of documentation, right? Multiple times, right?
Yeah, you can just go in there and you can tell them you got it and nothing else should matter. Why you have to show proof of anything?
There you go. There you go.
We're on the same page there, Sherry. Great call. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Brian in Kansas City. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Pete. I would just say the only way that I would get the vaccine shot is if I am exempt from federal income taxes for the rest of my life. And then I'd get it.
Oh, man. Yeah. Now, that's a hell of an incentive, Brian. That's pretty good, buddy. I'm on your wavelength, my man. I'll take that. I'll take that.
All right.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Brian. All right. That takes the cake there, Brian. He wants a federal tax exemption for the rest of his life. And he'll do whatever you want. He'll take that Johnson & Johnson shot. That'll do it for him. Woo! Oh, boy, that is funny. All right, you guys got me going. Coming up, we'll talk to Nick Haines, and we'll dive into last night's elections here in Kansas City, the homeless crisis, and much more. Well, it's April. You know what that means. Get your Bob Haines. Oh, we just got done with our buddy Nick Haines, and we're going to talk to Will Cain of Fox & Friends on the weekends. He'll be joining us just after 9 o'clock here on KCMO Talk Radio. Great to be with you on a rainy Wednesday morning. Let's say hi to Jim. He's in Kansas City. What's up there, Jim? Good morning.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call and allow me a chance to talk to you. I'm glad that Nick pointed out two glaring examples. One, that most of these cities that have a homeless problem and the increase in violence is due to Democrat-ran cities. You know, it's kind of the same thing, same story over and over. Also, he also pointed out that a lot of these homeless people want to be homeless. I know a lot of people don't think that. I've met a lot of homeless people. I've been homeless for a short time myself. So they don't want to go to the city of Union Mission. They don't want to stand in line to try to get a bed. They don't want to do this. They would much rather, you know, get a tent, camp out, do whatever they want to do. And so, Mayor Lucas is in a real tough pickle. I mean, if he wants to be the mayor for everybody in Kansas City, he's, you know, it's going to be hard, because I agree with you. If you're going to try to attract businesses and get people moving in Kansas City and going about again, they're not going to want to come to Kansas City when they see, a sprawling sea of tents of homeless people right in front of City Hall, or especially down in Westport, which is a problem area in itself already. So Democrat-ran cities, violence, and the homeless population in Kansas City, we're going to see an even bigger uptick in violence. So that's all I got to say, Pete.
Well, thanks for the call there, Jim. Got a lot of good stuff in there in a short period of time. Good work by you there, Jim. All right, good work by you. Here's the problem. The city has zero leverage. That's the problem for Kansas City right now. It came out with a statement over the weekend saying those folks who are camping on these homeless tents on the steps of City Hall and also camping in Westport got to be out by Monday. They put out a statement over the weekend saying that. Monday came and went and nothing happened. Now, you know, the mayor did tweet out, and the mayor will join us tomorrow morning at 7:30, as he does each and every Thursday. So you better believe this is going to be the big part of the conversation, that now he's going to meet today with this Kansas City Homeless Union and this KC Tenants Group, which has demands, and they say they're not leaving until the demands are met. And the demands are housing, jobs, water, and a seat at the table. You can't just force a company to give somebody a job. Now, I want somebody. Who doesn't want somebody who's homeless to be able to get back on their feet, to get a job, to get into an apartment? We all want that. I mean, who doesn't want that? That's just, if you're a human being with a heart, of course you want that. But by the way, and Jim just mentioned it there, you have places like City Union Mission that accomplish that. And that's why we had on yesterday the CEO from City Union Mission, which, by the way, is funded entirely through private dollars here in town. It is, yes, a Christian-based organization, but they don't ask you anything about you when you come to the shelter. They've got room in their shelter right now. They've got over 500 beds. They've got room in that shelter right now. And they help people in Kansas City dealing with poverty every single day. So that's my struggle here. My struggle is we have services available. And for the folks who are camping on the front lawn of City Hall to sit there and say that, you know, they're not being heard and they're not getting enough and they're not having the opportunity. I'd love to hear about the hundreds of success stories coming out of City Union Mission. And you know that there are hundreds of them who have come out of City Union Mission. I mean, I've been down there. I've toured their facilities. We've been involved with what they do in the past. We continue and will continue to be involved with what they do in the future. And that's just the reality. They've got the room for people. But at what point do you go? And it's a fine line to say, yes, you have to have a safety net of some form for the homeless. You want to help homeless people get up off their feet. But at the same time, just saying, hey, here's a house, here's a job. I mean, how do you do all that? In the real world, how do you do all that? Somebody explain that to me. You can't force a business to hire somebody that may not have the skill sets that you need. That's not the way that the real world works. Okay, so you have an entry-level job that's relatively low skill. That's fine. That's good. We need people for that as well. But then what are you guaranteeing on top of that? And should there be guarantees from the government on top of that, John? That's the part I don't get. And this whole push that it seems like we have no safety net is nonsense.
It's the 1% that are going to pay.
Oh, crap. Damn it. All right,
you forgot.
John. I know. You're right. You're right. It is the 1%. Ugh, gosh. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And that's the part of this where I'm struggling and saying to myself, this ruse, this notion that we don't have any type of service or the right kind of services or enough services, I can't buy it. I can't. So here's an update. This is our friends at KCTV5. Here's what their report was last night on where we're at right now with the homeless camps at City Hall and also down in Westport.
We know that the city is eyeing a 13 acres of land that is owned by the city just outside. It's outdoor, so it would be an outdoor encampment, and it is located just outside of Hope Faith, which is a homeless assistance organization on Virginia Avenue. And today, Mayor Quentin Lucas said, well, some people, they do prefer shelters and temporary housing at a hotel. Others don't want those restrictions or to have to be indoors, so that outdoor location would provide that option. But of course, money is needed to run these programs. So the city has spent about $5 million of $15 million that they received in funding from HUD for housing and shelter opportunities. Using abandoned schools right now isn't an option, though, for housing, because some of those buildings, they have asbestos, old boilers, or they just require
money. I'm going to stop it right there, because something that I heard in that report from KCTV5 really bothered me. All right. They don't want to be indoors. They want to be outdoors. Who the hell cares? Like, I'd love to live in a 15,000 square foot mansion. I don't. I'd like to do that, though. Like, at what point do we go from saying, hey, we got a bed for you to sleep in, to help yourself get back on track? Oh, you don't want to live inside. You want to live outside. Is there anything else I can do for you while I'm at it? Like, any other requests I can do for you here? What else? You want me to wipe your rear end while I'm at it here? I mean, seriously, is it you like the double ply toilet paper? What else can I do for you? Oh, you don't like the single ply? All right, let me get right on that. Like, there are a lot of things that I want in life that I don't have. But now we're like, oh well, the homeless people don't want to be indoors. They want to be outside, and we're like, and the mayor's like entertaining this like this is a serious conversation. Like, dude, at some point your foot's got to be put down and say enough is enough. Boy, all right, I got to take a breather. I'm getting too worked up. News in 2 minutes. We're approaching the 9 o'clock hour here on KCMO Talk Radio. Good to be with you. We'll have on Will Kane of Fox and Friends on the weekends coming up at 9:05. He used to be with ESPN, so I want his take on what's happening here with the All-Star Game. He's been great, by the way. I don't watch a ton of cable news on the weekend, but if I watch Will Kane, that guy is sharp. And he's been on the show before, but if you haven't heard him, you don't want to miss him. He's a really interesting guy, and we're looking forward to that conversation in about 15 minutes here on KCMO Talk Radio. But every Wednesday at this time, we do our What If Wednesday segment. Water!
KCMO 710 AM and 103.7 FM.
It's time for What If Wednesday
on Mundo in the Morning.
What if instead of having you on this radio station, there was somebody else?
And what if, Petey Bird?
We've tried that. It didn't work out too well. And here we are. By the way, I think we missed it, John. The year four of this show started a few days ago, actually. think it was like April 2nd or something I started 3 years ago. So we are starting year four of this show, John. That's exciting.
Interesting. Like 2020 is like the free space on the bingo card there. Just kind of went by and you're like, whoa, there's another year there.
I know. So yeah, we are now starting year four of this show on KCMO Talk Radio.
And our third producer on the board.
Oh, gosh. We keep running them off. But John's still here. We're still here. I know some of you aren't happy about it, but we love being here. So we're going to keep being here, showing up every day till they tell me not to. All right. What if Wednesday, John? Give me three ideas here for What If Wednesday.
All right. Here we go with number one. What if Major League Baseball didn't move its All-Star game during this past week?
Okay. So here's what would have happened. Major League Baseball doesn't move its All-Star game. Nothing would have happened. Nothing.
See, yeah.
That's exactly right. Just like, you know, when Stacey Abrams and some of these activists were like, hey, Coke, hey, Delta, hey, Home Depot, what are you doing? And they're like, well, I guess we'll say something to appease you, but not actually change anything about our business operations. That's what Major League Baseball, Major League Baseball should have kept its mouth shut anyway. But if they wanted to at least release a statement saying we don't get involved in politics and we're still having the All-Star game in Atlanta because it's a $100 million boost to, by the way, a city that is majority black, so we're keeping it here, that would have been the end of it. I don't think conservatives would have cheered them, but it just would have been over. Like, no one would have talked about it or cared, and it would have been old news by today. Instead, they piss off the majority of their fans. They do this based in literally a lie that Georgia somehow is suppressing voters. And now they've got, you know, people annoyed with them, John. They're such fools.
Yeah, they could have said, hey, we're pleased to provide you a platform. Please protest responsibly. Come on down to the All-Star game.
Yeah, how about that? You know, you want to stand outside the stadium with a couple of signs? ESPN may, you know, look at those heroes protesting. They may have done that. But literally nothing would have happened. This would have been old news, and the cancel culture woke mob would have come after their next victim.
We would have just had to reserve separate suites, though, because we would have the people protesting the Braves' name also, and they may be there. Well, they won't be there now, so.
You're right. There would have been protests on the Braves' name, voter suppression in Georgia.
Yep.
What else might, you know, trigger them while we're at it, while we're thinking about it? Oh, the fact that it cost money to go to the game. Like, you know, if you had more money, you got a better seat at the baseball game. They probably would have protested that as somehow income inequality. They would have found some other things to be triggered by. But literally, it just would have gone by the wayside. It would have been over.
Yep.
It would have been done with, and nobody would be talking about it. Like, geez, Commissioner Rob Manfred, he really is the dumbest man in sports. And that's saying something. That really is saying something based on, you know, some of these commissioners and who they are. And, oh, boy.
Actually, news cycle, not very long if you ignore it.
I know. That's it. Like, cancel culture moves on. If you ignore these people, they go away because there aren't that many of them. They're on social media. They make it sound like they're the majority. They're not. And when are these CEOs and these commissioners going to realize that? Like, they're the last ones to know. They're such fools. Really are. All right, what's next for What If Wednesday, John?
All right, what if the earnings tax had failed yesterday to pass in Kansas City?
Well, oh, boy. Could you imagine city council members running around like chickens with their heads cut off? They would have, you know what they would have done, by the way? They would have said voter suppression. That's what they would have done. By the way, only 38,000 people voted to pass the earnings tax, continue the earnings tax in Kansas City, which is a 1% tax on those of you that live in town and a 1% tax of those of you who do not live in town but work in Kansas City, Missouri. 38,000 people for a city of 500,000. Voted to continue the earnings tax. We told you it was going to happen, by the way. There's too much incentive for Kansas City voters, even those that don't like it personally, to vote for it because almost half of it is funded by people who don't live in the city but work in the city. Like, even if you are a small tax person, you've got zero incentive to vote against it because theoretically it would then cost you more money in some way to make up for that loss, either property taxes, sales taxes, things like that. So you're not going to vote against your best interests. If you work in the city but don't live in the city, you have no vote. So that's it. It was always going to pass. But if it failed yesterday, oh my goodness, you would have had the city council running around like chickens with their heads cut off. It would have been hilarious to watch. And they would have insisted that we've got to now defund the police and get rid of the fire department because there's no other way to run a city without an earnings tax. That's what they told us. That's what they insisted, even though it's not true. You would think that every city in America has an earnings tax. They don't, John. It's amazing how they still have, like, police officers in some of these towns, you know?
Well, we perhaps averted a tragedy because they might have had to charge to ride the streetcar.
Oh, that would have been a real disaster.
Woo, duck that one for another 5 years.
All 8 streetcar bros would have been really upset by this. All 8 of them would have been like, no! Now they're going to have to ride the bird scooters. That's what they're going to have to do. Oh, brother. But by the way, had the earnings tax failed, it wouldn't have gone away. It would have been phased out over 10 years, just so we're clear.
There you go.
All right, what's next, John?
All right, what if Madero Arredondo was the chief of the Kansas City Police?
Okay, so let's set this up. Arredondo is the police chief up there in Minneapolis. And the Kansas City Star, as I told you earlier this hour, wrote a disgusting hit piece against Police Chief Rick Smith here in town, saying with the headline, "Can you see KCPD's Rick Smith testifying as honestly as the Minneapolis police chief did?" Implying that Arredondo was a great witness for the prosecution in the case of Derek Chauvin, the guy who allegedly murdered George Floyd this week in that trial. Well, here's the thing. I believe if Madero Arredondo was the chief of the Kansas City Police Department, I don't think they'd touch him with a 10-foot pole. Because all the people that are making up lies about Rick Smith, they're doing it under this fake notion that Rick Smith, as a white guy, is not capable of being the police chief, and that's the reason he's got to go. Not because of anything he's done, not because of anything involving his job, but simply things will suddenly just magically be better if he goes away as a white male running the Kansas City Police Department. That's it. That's all they've got. That's all they've got. Coming up next, let's talk to, and by the way, that was What If Wednesday on KCMO Talk Radio, Will Cain, Fox and Friends on the weekends. We'll talk about the All-Star Game drama with him and much more coming up on KCMO.